It was a really blessed week, and I want to thank everyone who worked so hard preparing for VBS in the last couple of months, and then how much hard work went into last week. It was such a blessing. And while I was talking with someone one day, and okay, I was talking with Kiana. She laughs, so I figured I'd go ahead and say her name. I was talking with Kiana one day, and we had worked really hard painting downstairs and decorating with various other people. And it was surprising to me how well things just sort of came together. Right before, like, the crunch time of VBS, I had to leave because Amanda's father died, and we went down south. And I had a heavy weight on my heart while I was there thinking, man, everything's got to get done for VBS, and what are we going to do? And I came back, and Bonnie and Lynn and Kiana and someone else that I'm forgetting, Lori Cato, had just stepped up and done such a great job helping out Emery with decorating downstairs. And then as the weekend came and time started drawing to a close, it just seemed like there were so many people who pulled together and really put in a lot of work to help VBS out this year. And I want to say they helped me out a whole lot, but in reality, they were helping the church out, because this is something that we put on. And even though I might have been in charge of it, to whatever that means, God was glorified this last week, because of how much work went in and how much we all worked together. And you know, we as a church are a team. And we must work together as a team. Let me tell you that again. We must work together as a team. If you don't mind, I want you to repeat that with me. We must work together as a team. That is our job as the body of Christ. We've got to pull together. We've got to be unified. We're playing softball this year. Steve was gracious enough to pull it all together and give some members at church here an opportunity to have some recreation time and to interact with some other softball teams on the field. And our last game was Friday. Our last two games was Friday. And while we were out there on the field, at one point, this one guy got up, hit the ball, went straight to center field, and Steve was standing right there, caught it, right in his glove. Next person got up, they hit a line drive right past the pitcher, over second base, right out to center field, and Steve got it, and like a laser, threw the softball all the way to first base and got him out. Two outs. Two batters, two outs. And then the third person got up, hit a pop fly to the outfield. Steve ran it down and caught it. I looked back at him and I said something to the effect of, man, I think I'm just going to stay on the bench and let you go out next time and you can do it all by yourself. And he said, even though I was joking around, he said this back to me. He said, well, Bill, if you wouldn't have been standing at shortstop, they wouldn't have hit it to me in the outfield. Now, in thinking about that a little deeper, I've been on that softball team, and I've seen a lot of changes, and I've learned a lot of things from what we did this softball season. Because I'd never really been on a softball team before, and I never played before, and there are a lot of things that I learned. And first thing that I learned was that we each have a role to play on a team. And our role is important. It doesn't matter if you're the catcher, it doesn't matter if you're the pitcher, if you're right field, if somebody hits the ball in right field and you're not there, you don't do your job, then it hurts the team. So not only whenever you don't put your effort in to practicing, when you don't put your effort into trying to become better and do the best you can at your position, wherever the coach puts you, if you don't do your job the best you can do it, then you make yourself look foolish. But not only that, you hurt the team as a whole. But not only is each individual person important, but not more important than anybody else on the team, whenever you step out on the field, you all have to have the same goal. The team has to have the same goal in mind. Because if I got out there and my whole idea was, you know what, I'm just going to get a little exercise and have a little fun and that's cool. And then we had somebody else out there who says, we're going to have to practice to do the best we can and we're going to be winners. Yes, we're going to be winners. We've got to win every game. Well, whenever that ball gets hit to me and I'm at shortstop and I lean down and it rolls right between my legs and out into left field, then that person who's all about winning is probably going to be like, why weren't you there? Why didn't you do it? You should have done this. You should have done that better. And you should have done this better. And because we're supposed to be winning this game. And then not only would their goal not be met, but my goal of having fun probably wouldn't be met either. So whenever we step out on the field, we got to have a same goal in mind. We got to have our own purpose as a team. Everybody's important. No one's more important than anybody else. And we have to have the same goal in mind as a softball team. Well, Paul talks about the church in 1 Corinthians 12, and he calls it the body. And he uses the example of our body and how a body works. Starting in verse 14, he says, for the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. You see, if you're a hand's important. And a hand might not be an eye, but the hand's part of the body, just the same as an eye is. Just the same as your fingernail is. And let me tell you, a fingernail may not seem all that important until you hit it with a waffle head hammer while putting together a clubhouse. And then your fingernail means a whole lot to you. Of course, you know, and you know what? And when that finger hurts, everything stops in your body to go, ooh, man, shouldn't have done that. That's an important part of my body. Just because a pinky toe doesn't have the same function as an eye, your pinky toe is important. It is part of the body. So let's continue reading. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? So not only is each part very, very important, but if the whole body were an eye, well, then it couldn't do anything but see. If the whole body were a hand, it would just lay there and do whatever a hand does without any feet to take it to someplace else. Or wouldn't have any heart to pump a blood for it even to move, you see? So even though your hand's important, it's not the most important part of the body. Even though your feet are important, they're not the most important part of the body. They're not more important than anything else. So as we look at ourselves as the body of Christ, there may be some who may think that they're just a pinky toe. But that pinky toe is important. And never, never think that because you're just a pinky toe, that everyone else is better than you. Because that's not the case. We all need one another. We all need to work together. In a body, the only reason you can walk is because your eyes work in conjunction with your brain, that work in conjunction with your balance of work. And so you can walk with your legs, and your feet got to do the right thing, and your toes got to help balance. And if everything doesn't work together, then the job doesn't get done. Verse 18 of chapter 12. But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. Even more important than the fact that nobody is more important than anybody else, the most important thing is that God put you where He wanted you to be. God gave you the talents that He wanted you to have. God, in His divine wisdom, gave you what you need to fit in with this body right here, because you're necessary. You see that? We are all unified. And when we begin to think that my job is not important, so I don't have to do it. You know what? I'm just out in right field, and so I can just stand around, and when the ball comes out in between me and center field, I don't have to run for it because they can take care of it. My job's not really that important. I'm just standing out here. If I'm just the catcher and all I do is just sit here, I just catch and throw it back to the pitcher. Well, when someone's running home, what's going to happen if you don't do your job? We are each important, and God put us where we need to be. Now, in Matthew 25, you could turn there if you want. Jesus told this little parable. It was a parable of a businessman who had three guys that worked for him. And he gave one of his servants, one of his slaves, he gave one of them five talents, which was a form of money. He gave him five talents. He gave another one two talents, and he gave another one talent. And he said, I'm going to go away on a long journey. I'm giving you these things, and I want you to take care of them for me while I'm gone. Whenever he comes back, verse 20, the one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I've gained five more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. See, this man did what he was supposed to do. He used the gift that the master gave him. And when he did, he got more for it. The second person came up. Also, the one who had received the two talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I've gained two more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. You see, the guy who had two talents, sure, he might have had less talents than the one who had five talents, but God, the master, still gave him something. And he was responsible for the something that the master gave him. And then The one who had received one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours. So the master gave him a talent, gave him something. And instead of getting back what he gave him back a dirty, unused gift. A dirty, unused gift. He went out and buried it in the ground. And the master said, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness, into the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are servants of the Master. You put on Christ, you are servants of the Master. And he has given each of us a talent. He's given each of us gifts, given each of us things that we can do. And Jesus in his parable said that if you use what God gave you, then he's going to give you more and is going to be joyous over what you do. But if you don't use what God gave you, if you are too afraid to use what God gave you, if you want to come up with excuses why you cannot use what God put in your life to serve the church, then you know what? He's not only going to take it away from you, but he's going to cast you out. Because you're useless. You're lazy, and there's nothing worth for you. He didn't want you in his, he didn't want you working for him. And now, I do not mean this to say that we can in any way earn salvation. Because that's not true. God in his great mercy has given us salvation. But whenever you put on the name Christian, you have a responsibility to take what God has given you and use it to the benefit of the church. And you know what? You know what the goal is? I talked about goals in softball, but the goal, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 8 through 10. To me, Paul says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given. Now, God gave something for Paul to do. And here's what he says. To preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Now Paul says that God gave him a job to do. And his job was to show a mystery that has been hidden. To show it. And this is what it is. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. God has great and abundant wisdom, and he has planned from eternity before time a plan of redemption of mankind. And it is up to the church. It is up to the church to show this wisdom to the heavenly beings. We have a heavenly audience watching us. They're watching us to see if God has true wisdom. And it's up to us to show that wisdom to them. You know what that wisdom comes from? Everything in life. As soon as you're born, you begin to die. Everything starts to degrade. As soon as you build up a house, fresh and new, it starts to decay. It's a law. It's a law of physics that as soon as something is at a high point of energy, it is going to start going to a low point. That's a fact. There is no changing that. Nothing in this world gets better. Nothing. Everything decays. That's a fact of life. But in this world where everything is going from order to chaos, stick with me. In this world where everything is going from order to chaos, God has looked out among man and seen the diversity that we have. All the differences in our being. And He has brought all of that together into order. It goes against everything created. You look at humans, period. You put them together, they're going to fight, they're going to disagree, and they're going to split. That's the way people are. But God has brought us together in unity. God, in His abundant wisdom, devised a way to show creation that we go against everything that people take for normal. We go against all things that are normal. You become part of the church, you're something different. You're something great. We are saved from our own selfishness. We're saved from our own sin. And that's God's plan. To bring us all together, unified and free of sin. And it's our duty to work together to show this wisdom of God. That's our job. That's our job. And it's very interesting that we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to go back there. Paul was dealing with a congregation of people who were having a lot of difficulties and a lot of strife and a lot of division. And he starts talking about the body in chapter 12. Saying how no any one person is better than any other person. But you're all very important. You all are the body of Christ. And he says, God gave each of you different gifts. God gave each of you different things that you can do. But none of you are more important than anybody else. But if you want to look for the most important gift, verse 31, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And do you know what that more excellent way is? Chapter 13 is the longest dissertation in love, about love, in the New Testament. Paul describes love as the more excellent way. You want to have a gift? You want to have a gift that is beyond any other gift? Love. Love one another. And that's not some emotional, lovey-dovey kind of feeling inside of you. What we're talking about is self-sacrifice for the people who are around you. Whenever you're a part of a team, you have to sacrifice your own will for the betterment of the team. That's love. Ephesians, whenever we were just there, where Jake read a bit earlier. Well, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself. How? In love. You see, that's the way. We got to search ourselves. Find what God has given to us to do to help the church. And take our own selfish will out of the way. And give ourselves to the body of Christ. You see, there are people who take on more work than what they've got time to do. There are those who are very balanced in their service to God. There are those who just don't know what they can be doing. They may just have ignorance about what they could be doing. And then we have some who just don't do anything, have no desire to do anything. And so, I have a challenge for you this week. Take this home with you. I have a challenge for you. Just this week, go home and think and pray about what gifts you have that you can add to the church. Think about what things that God has given you that you can help minister to the congregation. If it's nothing more than taking home a stack of cards and writing people who are sick, then do it. Commit yourself to that. And if you don't have any idea if you need a little guidance, ask the coach or the coaches that I see as being Robert and CB. Find out what the elders need here in the congregation. There's always work. Robert and CB work themselves silly. There's always something to do. Check with them. Find out what you could do to help. But then, as we look at being a team player, first off, you have to be a part of the team. Before you can be a team player, first off, you got to sign up to be a part of the team. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we were just there just a little bit ago, starting in verse 12, it says, "For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the spiritual drink." We each, who are a part of the team, were baptized into that body. If you are not part of the team, God's got something for you to do. God's got something for you to do. First off, He has shown His love to you by giving His Son to die for your sins. He wants you to be in His kingdom, and then He has given you what it takes to do what He wants you to do. That's the beauty of being a part of this team. God's already gave it to us. He gave us everything we need. All we got to do is be willing to set ourselves aside and do what the Lord has prepared for each of us to do, to show His wisdom to our heavenly audience that watches on right now. If you have not been baptized into Christ, if you've not become a part of this team, this family that we have here, then I encourage you today, think about that. That will be the single most important decision that you have in your life. And if you have some struggles that are keeping you from fulfilling the potential that God has given you, if you are a Christian and you haven't been doing what you should be doing, we're here to help you now. We're here to help you pray for you. But before we can help you, we got to know. So if there's anything that we could do, please come forward as we stand and sing.